Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. I trust that we have already been challenged, drawn closer to the Lord, learned more from His Word as we've been together. I suppose you would be a little bit disappointed or shocked if I said I was not glad to be back home again. But I am. It's after 3 weeks, it's good to be, you know, there's no other church quite like the Halsey Church. There's no other place quite like Powerline Road, Halsey, that I enjoy being. And so it is good to be home. Probably most of you know that I was involved in 3 weeks of Bible school, Bethel Bible School in Oklahoma, along with Joel and Sarah was there. Joel was chorus director and taught rudiments of music, and Gina went as secretary, and we had four young men here from our congregation that were there as students, so it was a blessed time. Now we're just in a transition mode here, got a week in between, and then there's another group leaving the end of this week to go up to Cornerstone Bible School, John's and Dan's and Jolene and Joanna and anybody else. Anyhow, so let's remember that work in prayer. That's a great work. Maybe just a comment or two as far as the Bible school there in Oklahoma. There were this was held at the Fairland congregation. They hosted it, and the students stayed in the homes. They did a very good job of accommodating everyone. Students from, I believe it was about 13 states and two Canadian provinces. And so we had a good time of refreshment around the Word of God. But, you know, I will admit that in the last 3 weeks, after teaching 30 class periods and having four messages, and I got home last night, and I felt like going flop. But that's not what the preaching schedule said. So I was trying to decide just what I could share. There were some different things that had gone through my mind, some of the things from some of my classes and so on. But I was impressed then as I thought about this last night. I'd like this morning to bring a message on one of Jesus' parables. We find this in Luke 17, verses 7 to 10. And this is the parable of the unprofitable servant. And I guess what I really felt like was that I needed to bring a message that would speak to my needs, and hopefully would be an encouragement to each one of us. So I'm going to read this at this time. Luke 17, verses 7 to 10. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he comes from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. It seems that this parable here strikes at the core of what we might consider to be our own self-worth, our own value. You know, maybe we think that we've done enough for the Master. Maybe we've done enough right now, and we deserve to take a rest. And He has many other people that He could use for the things that need to be done. And He's not dependent upon me or you. But you know, if I'm going to be a true servant, if you're going to be a true servant of God, of Jesus Christ, then we need to continue serving regardless of the circumstances. So the setting is that of a master and a servant. Excuse me, I kind of picked up a cold there in Oklahoma. Okay, the servant was owned by his master, and he had no rights of his own. And he was under obligation to serve. I suppose it might be just a little bit like the slaves in the South there, prior to the Civil War, where they were not allowed any privileges of their own. They needed to serve according to what their master said. And so the servant, it was his duty to do what was required of him. And the master would tell him what to do. And here we have, even though the servant had worked hard all day, he had gone out, he had plowed, he had fed the cows. And yet his master expected him to come home, and rather than go flop, like I said I felt like doing, he was supposed to take care of his master and his master's needs and fix supper for him and get things around for him, and then he could take care of his own needs. And so maybe this seems like a hard master. You know, does this portray God as a hard taskmaster, indifferent to the needs of his servants, accepting the servant without recognition? No, I don't think so, because Jesus has painted a different picture of his Father. You know, he painted a picture of a Father that's full of compassion, one who cares for his children, a God who gives rather than receives. But I think the teaching here in this parable is that no matter what we do, we can never of our own selves and of our own efforts earn honor and merit. It is teaching that if a servant, after a hard day of labor, thinks of his master's needs before his own comforts, how much more should we as God's children be ready to serve God regardless of what reward, regardless of what comforts we might receive? Now, in this message here, I'm not saying that we should never relax, never take a little bit of time and recuperate. That's not what I'm saying, but it might kind of sound that way. As I looked at this, I think there's several things that this parable teaches us. The first is that a servant must be busy in his master's work. Now, this servant that we find here in this parable, I don't see him to be lazy. He had been laboring hard all day in the field. And I don't suppose it was just the most pleasant of weather. It was probably hot out there, out in the hot sunshine. And I suppose following that plow around the field, it was dusty. And then when he got done with that, then he had to make sure that the cows had something to eat. I don't know what all he had to do to feed them. Some of you know a little bit more about that maybe than I do. But in this parable, we don't see that this servant was loafing. He was hard at work. And you would think now, after this hard day of work, he could come home, he could relax, he could sit down on the couch, he could put his feet up on the recliner. And maybe, you know, since he worked so hard for his master, maybe his master could at least dish up a little bit of food and give it to him and let him relax. But no. No, that wasn't to be. You know, and as we think of our own lives and our own work for the Lord, maybe you feel that you have given your all to the work of the Lord, that you've gone almost above and beyond the call of duty. You've given time and effort, and you've expended yourself in the work of the Lord, and you've sacrificed your own interests. And, you know, for the work of the church and for the work of God's kingdom, maybe you've faithfully kept up your devotional life and your Bible reading and your prayer, and you go to prayer meetings even when the flesh says don't. You consistently take your place as Sunday school teacher. You've sacrificially given time and energy to teach school. You've been active in the sewing circle. Even though there's so many pressing duties at home to take care of at home. When there's a work day for your brother, you're there. You go and help. And you go and help sing in Eugene even when you don't feel like it. It'd be easier to stay home. Maybe you've been an obedient child at home and you have honored your parents and you've obeyed them even though you don't always agree with them. Maybe you've gone to sing at Quail Run when you'd a whole lot rather stayed home and take a Sunday afternoon nap. Surely, God will give you special rewards because of your labor of love. And won't He give you a little time to sit back and relax and let Him serve you instead of you serving Him? But in the midst of all this, in verse 10 it says, we are unprofitable servant. Now, unprofitable is not worthless. That's not what it means. But it implies one that has not gone beyond his obligation or duty. I'd like to ask you this morning, in your work for the Lord, in your life, in your Christian experience, is there any time that you have gone over and above and beyond your call of duty? I haven't. Maybe you have, but I haven't. All right, the second thing I see in this parable is that the servant is to do as he is told to do, as he is bidden. His life is not his own. His decisions are not his own. He is under obligation to do the master's will. And as I said before, surely that servant came home hot and dusty and hungry after a hard day of working there in the field. And his master, who had not faced the heat of the day, why couldn't he get his own meal ready? Why couldn't he take care of his own needs? It wasn't fair. Here his master wanted him to come home, and after he'd done all that work, then he had to get around and get some food around for his master. His master required more of his servant than the work that he did in the field. You know, I think it's probably true that there are times that the Lord asks us to do things beyond what we thought would be required when the Lord said, follow me. And I followed. Or you followed. Do we sometimes resent the fact of not being able to do things the way I want to do it, to order my life the way I would like to order it, rather than being concerned about what pleases the Master? Are there places I would like to go? I'd like to just get away. But the Master says, no, you stay here. I have work for you today. And so we're weary from doing His bidding. And surely, He could understand that I'm just too tired to pray today. I'm too busy to prepare a topic for Sunday evening service or whatever it might be. I just can't get up enough energy to go to that Thursday evening revival meeting that is scheduled. Do I have to go to that youth singing yet tonight? But you know, the servant does not set his own agenda. The servant does as he is bidden. Blessed is that servant who regards himself as unprofitable, but woe to that servant whom the Lord shall call unprofitable. In other words, I don't want God to look at me and my life and my service and say, there is an unprofitable servant. but rather that I could feel inadequate to meet the needs that God has given to me, and I could say for myself that I'm an unprofitable servant. The third thing I see is that the need of the master comes before the comfort of the servant. The master has a right to ask his servant to take care of his needs. I was interested, it was interesting just to see a couple verses here in the book of Job. You can turn to that if you want to. Well, it was interesting, but I didn't write down the right reference. Apparently. Let me look at this again. I'm sorry. The thought is this, two verses in the book of Job. It asks the question, can a man be profitable to God? And I think that's a searching question. Is there anything that I can do to enhance God's profit and loss ledger? To say that it's profitable to God. And then the next verse asks this question, is there any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Does that please God? Does that make a difference to God that I'm righteous or you're righteous? Well, I'm sure that it does, but it's really to our benefit more than it is to God's benefit. And so, when the Lord bids us do something, the time is now. Not next week, not next month, or some other time. You know, how often have I'm speaking to myself, been prodded to do something for the Lord, but it seemed that a later time would be more convenient. There's a few more of my own needs and comforts that need to be tended to first, and then maybe I could do the master's bidding. You ever found yourself in that situation? Perhaps you feel that you've given your all for Jesus. And that you have been called to shoulder a heavy responsibility that's been given to you. And maybe others don't understand. They don't really care. They don't really appreciate the work that you've been called to do in the work of the Lord. You know, maybe you've been called to care for an aged parent or a handicapped child. You know, I know some of you have put a lot of effort into some of the things that you face in your family, like with your children and so on. Maybe you've had to deal with a rebellious son or daughter. Maybe you've had to give up your own time, some things you would like to do, to spend time with your children. You know, how about that when the little chap comes and says, could you do this with me? No, I don't have time right now. Maybe sometime later. Well, I've found out that sometime later is basically never. That's kind of what you're saying. And I think I've said this before, but I was often very impressed with my wife, how she would take time to read to the children. I think that paid dividends over and over again. That you know, I could see all kinds of things around the house that need to be done, but she could see the most important thing was to spend time with the children. I think that's part of being a profitable servant. Maybe you've had to take time to counsel with a struggling soul. Maybe you've been faithful during great trials of affliction. But you know, regardless of how faithful and how unnoticed by others, I'm still an unprofitable servant. The fourth thing I see here in this parable is that a faithful servant should not expect praise. Now, you know, sometimes we are motivated, we're driven by getting compliments. Had a little bit of that here in the Sunday school lesson. But you know, praise only belongs to God, to Him and to Him alone. And the servant needs to go beyond the point of duty before he's worthy of any praise or reward. But who can go beyond the point of duty? I don't think it's possible. And so we really don't deserve praise. And so a life of blameless holiness is no more than God requires. It's not grounds to demand a special reward or a lessening of the workload. To do less is negligent. To do more than our duty is impossible. I think that we need to remember, as servants of God, we are as nothing. You know, as I was meditating on this morning, my mind went back many years to when my Uncle Leroy was here, and he said more than once, he said, you know, he said, don't think that God got a big bargain when He got you. And I had to think of that. You know, God is not fortunate to have you as His servant. That's not the point. You are fortunate that He has work for you to do, to be a servant of His. And so I'm so small, I'm so insignificant, that God's work could easily go on without me. But He has a place, He has a little place carved out for you and for me in His kingdom. And He wants us to be faithful in that. God wants each of us to be a part of His kingdom and work within that grand scheme of what He has designed for human involvement in His kingdom here below. One thing that really blessed me as I was meditating on this subject, maybe you want to turn with me to Luke 12. Even though we may think that this is all a one-way street, there is coming a time when these roles are going to be reversed. And Jesus Himself is going to gird Himself and serve you. I believe that's at His coming again. Luke 12, 35 to 40. It says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves likened to men that wait for the Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And so it would appear that when Jesus comes again, those who are watching and waiting for Him, He's going to serve them. It says in verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, He shall gird Himself. Now, I'm not quite sure what all that girding means, but it would take on the aspect of servanthood. Maybe put on an apron or whatever, and make them to sit down to meat. and will come forth and serve them. And so today we are to serve Him in the time to come. He is going to serve us. There's a song that we sometimes sing in the Christian hymnal. I think we're about all acquainted with it, that says, "Brethren, we have met to worship and to glorify." I forget just how that goes, but the last stanza, as I read this here in Luke, it came to me. The last stanza of that verse says, "Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around." And so that's something that a servant can look forward to. Now, going back to the passage there in Luke 17, I was trying to get just a little bit of a picture as to why Jesus brought this parable in at this particular point. And it's of interest to note that there's more parables in the book of Luke than in Matthew. Mark has a few. John, I think, only has one. There's a number of parables that are found only in the book of Luke. And if we could go back and look at chapter 15, has a parable of the 90 and 9 sheep, and then the parable of the coin that was found, the parable of the what we call the prodigal son, or the lost son. Then there we go into chapter 16, and there's a parable of the unjust steward. And then toward the end of 16, there is a parable of the rich man and Lazarus, which we often think of in relation to what's going to come at the end of life, that there's going to be a parting of the ways between the righteous and the unrighteous. And one reason that he gave that, in verse 14 of chapter 16, it says, "The Pharisees were covetous, and they heard all these things, and they made fun of him." And he said, then he gave this, he reproved them. He said, you justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. And then he goes on and tells this story about the rich man and Lazarus. And then after that, in verse 1 of chapter 17, it was a little bit hard for me to just kind of put the whole sequence of events here. But Jesus told his disciples, verse 1, he says, "It's impossible, but what there's going to be offenses that come." And I guess that, to me, there's a peril there, peril of causing someone else to sin. We need to live our lives in such a way that we do not cause offense to someone. And it's a warning to be very careful not to do anything that would cause anyone to stumble. And then we go on in verses 3 and 4, and it talks about somebody that does something against us. And so he warns here that we don't lack charity. And he intimates that his followers should be ready always to forgive. And wrongs will come to us. And we will be hurt. We will feel slighted. And we will not be able to understand why our brother acts as he does. But if he repents, he says, forgive. He's to be treated with kindness and freely forgiven. And then the disciples say, in conjunction with that, they say, increase our faith. Now, what does that have to do with not offending and forgiving our brother? But Jesus said, if you have faith as a small seed, well, you can do this, you can do that. Well, let me read it here. Verse 5 and 6. "And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Now, do you know, if we have faith, and if there are great manifestations of the work of God in our lives, what's going to be our tendency? Our tendency is going to be to take credit to ourselves. Look what the Lord has done through me. But Jesus says, no. You take no credit to yourself. You're just an unprofitable servant. It goes right into the story of the unprofitable servant. And so, no human work. No matter how great it might be, no matter how much faith is exercised there, can give a claim to God that we deserve praise. And so a life given to God is no more than what the Master requires. One has not gone beyond his sense of duty just because he has fulfilled the requirements that the Master has set. So I think this parable would cut to the heart of pride. That we should be humble. It cuts off any merit that for the work that the Lord might do in and through us. It cuts at the desire for praise. It shows that no human service, however well done, gives anyone a claim upon God. It's merely a fulfillment of duty. And so, when we come to a stage in life where maybe we've been very busy in the Lord's work, I don't think that we can now declare ourselves a two-week vacation. I deserve a two-week vacation from serving the Lord. But you know, as unprofitable servants, we need to work faithfully till Jesus comes. So I trust that these few thoughts will be a benefit to us. I had told Dan I wouldn't care if his devotional was 50 minutes long, but he didn't take me up on it. So thank you for listening. We'll have a closing thought.